you are invited to the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show every Friday night on United Public Radio Network from 9 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time, 12 to 1 a.m. Eastern Time, with your spiritual warrior goddess, Kathy Bilski. Kathy will share all the old truths the Illuminati tries to keep secret. Kathy also gives you the opportunity to join in with planetary healing light work that will help us manifest World Enlightenment 2016. So let's get high and fly into new possibilities. So join Kathy every Friday night on UPRN, the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show. A very powerful happening.
Tune in to UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Benetti, and you're listening to United Public Radio, UPRN 107.7 FM in New Orleans.
Hi, come check out Christina George's new show, Aliens, UFOs, and Beyond, Thursday night, 8 p.m. See you Thursday, Jeff.
You're listening to UFO Undercover with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Joe Montaldo, and you're listening to United Public Radio. Come check out Christina George's new show, Paranormal Connections, only on United Public Radio, Monday, 8 to 10 p.m. See you Monday. Hello, you're listening to United Public Radio. I'm Joe Montaldo, host of News on the Flip Side. Check us out every Saturday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Central Time.
The UPRN family of shows would like to take a moment to thank our loyal listeners for tuning in to UPRNTalkRadio.com along with 107.7 FM New Orleans. Broadcasting on multiple platforms like Live365, Ustream, and Shoutcast has made the UPRN the longest-running, highly rated, and best source of quality, unique programming that is not afraid of the status quo in alternative media. This station has a solid course of shows and hosts that refuse to get stuck in a rut or be overrun by a groupthink mentality, because station owner, host, and iCar founder Joe Montaldo knows the value of letting his talented stable of hosts grow uninhibited. In this genre, that's an accomplishment which many in alternative radio are striving for but are left consistently wanting. This is all made possible because of you, the listener, that tunes in live every night, who can tell the difference that independent thinking makes. The best way to show our appreciation is to thank you and continue to allow our listeners the ability to download the archives of all the shows free of charge on iTunes, Podbean, and SoundCloud. No monthly fees, no cost to download individual shows, and none of the constant hassling for donations. That's the UPRNradio.com difference. So stick around, there's much more to come with new shows on the way. For now, feel free to join your favorite show live in the Pal Talk chat room, easily accessible off UPRNTalkRadio.com, and share the experience of listening live with other listeners from around the world. So thanks for listening, and thank you for being a part of the UPRNTalkRadio.com family of listeners. Do you love sports? Okay, maybe just at least pay attention to sports. Then check out the Big Shoulder Sports Show, Tuesday night, 7 to 9 Eastern on UPRNTalkRadio.com and 107.7 FM out of New Orleans. JT, Justin, and I spill our guts about all things Cubs, White Sox, Blackhawks, Bulls, and Bears with no filter, the way nature intended sports to be heard. We also cover the national news in the sports world, but really, that's just because we have to. The Big Shoulder Sports Show, live Tuesday, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on UPRNTalkRadio.com and 107.7 FM out of New Orleans. Or check out the podcast on Podbean, iTunes, and SoundCloud. Three guys saying words, making radio happen every week.
Summon the spirit of Halloween early this August 6th and 7th. At the Pasadena Convention Center in Pasadena, California, with Scare LA, Season of the Witch, hosted this year by the Queen of Halloween herself, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. Join Christina George from Paranormal Connections, Russ McCamey from McCamey Manor, along with 20,000 frightful horror fans for an epic weekend featuring scare industry masterminds, a massive show floor, cosplay, and classes. Add to that major reveals of the most anticipated theme park entertainment from home haunts, movies, television, and more. Test your nerves in the fog. Dozens of haunt mazes, virtual reality experiences, ghost stories, escape rooms, and roaming monsters are sure to make you scream. This year, Scare LA opens its first ever full-sized original haunt attraction, Blood Offering, designed by some of Southern California's greatest scare artists. Paranormal's Christina George will be broadcasting live from the event. Come join her for an experience not to be forgotten. Book your tickets today at ScareLA.com. This show is not to be missed.
You want to learn about aliens, extraterrestrials, UFOs, visitations, military abductions? Join Joe Mataldo on Wednesday night, 8 to 10 p.m. for his episodes of UFO Undercover.
I had had enough.
Well, you drove out there into the middle of nowhere and had some sort of loud verbal display challenging E.T. in general out in the middle of nowhere.
That's what I was doing. I actually had a pistol in my hand at the time. I was really ticked off. When I was having this fit, I was waving the gun in the air, okay, and I had this fit. And at this moment, I said, okay.
Was a Louisiana man named Montaldo. The folks around called him Six Gun Joe. Worked with ICAR, don't you know? Investigating UFOs. Out for a drive with a gal one night, they stopped to check out a reporting site. When an alien lit right there on the ground, commenced to throw in his weight around. Now, old Six Gun didn't take too kindly to that kind of thing. Especially without Vaseline or anything like that, you know. Seriously. Well, Six Gun looked that critter right in the eye and said, any last wish before you die, yells. Reached for his gun, quick as a twitch, and said, fill your claw, you son of a bitch. Now, a legend spread across the land about this pistol-waving man. But if you're from space or from Earth below, you don't give no lip to Six Gun Joe.
Welcome to UFO Undercover with your host, Joe Mataldo.
Welcome to another episode of UFO Undercover. Like Natasha says, welcome everyone. I hope everyone's having a great evening, great morning, great afternoon, wherever you are on our big, 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 beautiful blue planet. It's getting smaller every day. There's a lot of stuff going on around the world. I see a lot of stuff going on in space. We're getting pictures back from Jupiter. I got to say, a lot of stuff coming in from the solar system lately has been very pleasing, very beautiful, very interesting in the way things have worked. And I see we're back on the Dyson sphere thing again. They're driving me crazy with it, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then they say it's changing or evolving now. It's so far away, I don't even know how, other than the light changing, I don't even know what the hell they're looking at. So hopefully we'll get some better data. We're getting better telescopes in space. We've got a lot of stuff going on. So hopefully we'll start seeing some better data on that. Really and truly, at this point, it's just nice to see anything. Pluto was a great surprise, I have to say. It really was. But anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about tonight. Tonight we're going to be talking about the reptilians, a little bit about the abductions, a little bit about things. I'm doing about a 20-episode, it's 1-hour series on reptilians, humans, greys, a little bit about the light beings, military abductions. There'll probably be two of each, maybe three of each, you know, 101, 202, 303, those sort of things. But it's just because I've been wanting to do a couple of these hours. It cuts this show a little short, but we're not doing guests right now for a couple of weeks anyway. There's a couple people I want to bring on, but I really want to get the series out of the way first. I'm thinking about Alpha Weber and Andre Basagi, so we can have a little Mars discussion. Also, there's some upcoming stuff. By the way, I sent Ancient Aliens the rest of the blood type study stuff the other day. They seemed very interested in this stuff. I sent them the final numbers, both from the website participants and from the application participants. All together, it's on the website. I want to say it's like 51,000 or something. But it's all the websites, all the numbers are up there for everybody to see. And we've gone over a lot of things with Ancient Aliens over the last, about 8 weeks now, I think, huh? 10 weeks, something like that. It's been a lot of emails going back and forth. And I sent them a lot of documentation on a lot of different stuff that we do and that we're involved with. Also copies of things like abduction forms with answers on, things like that, just to give them a basic idea of what it is that we're doing. So hopefully all that information will help them along with what they're doing. But anyway, tonight, the reptilian. Now, we're not going to get into the agendas or anything like that, but first off, and I've said this countless times, reptilians get a bad rap. One, they're not evil. They're not here to eat us. They're not here to cut off our pieces and things like that. The reptilians have been here probably much longer than any of the aliens, except for maybe the humans. And really, if what I think is correct, they've been here longer than them as well. Well, they've come and gone, let's put it like that. The reptilians are interesting species because they seem to have alpha male, alpha female type society. Not just one. I mean, there's layers of them. Not sure you have whoever the ruling set is, and then, according to whatever their domains and things that they do and stuff like that, and committees or whatever the hell they work for and stuff along those lines. I'm sure the alpha and alpha male and females are set up along those lines as well. They do seem to have a religion from most of what we can tell across the three or four types of reptilians we deal with, and they're not different species. They're one species. They're just different. They don't all look the same, and they have different characteristics and things like that. But regardless, they are still the same species. I know people get confused. Oh, the Dracos. Oh, no, the Dracos and the Earth reptilians are the same reptilians. Whether they originated here, originated there, originated somewhere else, that's anybody's guess. I personally think they were here on Earth 60 million years ago. And there does seem to be some evidence for that. And actually, there's about three pieces of evidence for that now. But regardless, I do think they were here, left whenever the catastrophe started, came back, found the human aliens here messing around with the indigenous species and creating a new species, basically. A slave race, basically, is what they were doing. Didn't sit well with the reptilians. They seemed to got interfered in this. And, there's text about this in the Egyptian hieroglyphs. The Dogon talk about this in great detail. The Sumerians get into this in detail. And I think there's two other races besides that are in the Middle East that all discuss the reptilians and the basic awakening of mankind. Now, to make this easier for you, the awakening of mankind would be like the Adam and Eve story. Eve bit the apple. and she became self-aware. She realized that she was standing naked in the garden with nothing on, nothing around her, and had no understanding of her environment really at all. That's an awakening. You have now become self-aware. Before that, even according to the Bible, they could do things like, you know, name the animals. They really didn't have any much understanding other than praising God and naming the animals and doing whatever they were supposed to be doing. They just didn't seem to have any more reality than that. Of course, when she gave the apple to Adam, the same thing happened to him. Well, there's a lot of stories in the ancient worlds about the reptilians being the bearers of life and the bringers of this and the bringers of that. None of it really bad, though. The human aliens seem to be the ones that get the bad rap in the ancient world. The reptilians seem to get the bad rap today, but in the ancient world it was the other way around. So I find all this very fascinating. You have to kind of wonder why or what actually changed that. And I'm sure there's lots of reasons for it, but long story short is they get a bad rap. More than likely, they are the species that gave us sentience. They are probably the species that gave the human race, us I mean, the spark of knowledge. Now, we can argue whether that's true or not, but the fact of the matter is we do have a reptilian section in our brain, and it is part of us. So in reality, then, there's two things. Either they intervene in their DNA as part of ours, or we simply evolved from reptiles in a long, tedious change, and that's why it's still in our brain. But if that was true, then there should be some remnant of the brain from the previous extinction. I'm just saying. If everything seems to be correlated and coalescing together and be from the same thing, and we all evolved from basically the same thing moving forward, then you should be able to trace that all the way back. That's all I'm saying. It's not me. I've been reading a lot about this lately, and this is one of the things they're having problems with what we call standard evolution. There's some issues with the way the last three extinctions tie in to the previous extinctions or the following generations. There's only X amount of material left behind. The last one, I think they said it was 4% of life was left on Earth, primarily mammals. Okay. That's no diversity for 63 million years. I mean, really, look how many critters are on the planet right now. And we're talking a mass extinction, 63 million years. It had to take at least 10, 15 million years for really things to get back to where they were. So that puts it down to 40 million. And in 40 million years, all of this evolved. All of this. Not tonight, Callie, but it's just one of those things. But anyway, I keep getting sidetracked, and I apologize for that. I'm actually not here. I'm just throwing stuff in, and this is all stuff that we'll get into more detail. And for the shows now, the last set of these shows, which is probably about 6 or 8 weeks down, they will be two-hour shows because we're going to be taking callers. But on the one-hour shows, not so much because it's just not enough time. We only have about 33 minutes left for tonight anyway. So getting back on topic, the reptilians really do get the bum rap. It's not that they're not doing abductions like everybody else and doing crappy things to humans. They are. It's not always crappy things, but it goes back and forth. But they are. What I fundamentally find as a researcher about the reptilians is that all the species that we discuss and that we're involved with and that are doing abductions or are just here watching abductions, whatever you may have it, I agree, Callie, they can, but that's for another show. But the thing of it is with all of this, the reptilians seem to be the most like us, or I should say, we're the most like them. They're very passionate, very quick to judge, very quick to temper race. But they're also very elegant, very intelligent, very enlightened, and in a lot of ways, what's the word I'm looking for? It's the one out of my mind, but they're a very peaceful race for the most part. They're not quite an agrarian society. And what I mean by that, two-thirds of them are an agrarian society. They don't really have a vicious mean bone in their body. They're not out to conquer the universe or any other thing for that matter. But for a lack of a better way of describing this, we'll call it a warrior race. It's not what it really is. But for lack of a better way, that one-third, or maybe that 20% of their species, can be very violent and very mean and very cruel. And you got to take something else in, too. They are raised differently than we are. They are raised in families, from what we understand, but they are raised differently than we are. And things that we might consider to be cruel or unjust, they may not. Well, they're much more peaceful than we are by any means. Oh, yeah. Oh, by far. Even when you listen to them talk about the Galactic Council and the old wars and stuff like that, reptilians seem to be drug into them. They don't seem to be starting. Maybe they're like the Chinese. You know, people misunderstand the Chinese. People always tell me how violent and vicious the Chinese are. The Chinese have never, with the exception of Whatchamacallit, have never even left their own borders for an invasion. They've been invaded several times, but they really haven't invaded anybody else other than where the Dalai Lama used to live. And that's the thing. I mean, sometimes we get misjudged. They are a harsh species. If we talk about the Chinese in the early days, they were a harsh species. And the reptilians are that as well, but they're also very kind, very nice. And as far as I know, it, except the black-eyed aliens, the only ones that have sex with us. And they say the humans do, but I can't really nail anybody down on that, except for crazies. Maybe having sex with a human-type alien makes you crazy. I don't know. Just kidding. I don't know, but it is kind of interesting. But that and the aliens with the big black eyes, not the grays, mind you. The ones that look just like us, except their eyes are kind of, they're just black. They're not even really bigger than ours. They're just black. They look bigger because they're black. Instead of having a black pupil with a green iris and all, or blue or brown, it's just black. It looks like a shiny black marble in their head, or two shiny black marbles in their head. But other than that, I mean, they're a lot like us, at least in design. Are they a hybrid from us? I don't think so. I think they're actually a separate race. When people talk about seeing them on board the ships and all, they just seem to be along our technological level, too. Just somebody else involved with whatever the grays, reptilians, and human aliens are doing to us. But anyway, getting back to the reptilians, they do have a military. They do have religion, and they do seem to have a very evolved sense of righteousness, or maybe righteous is not the right word. Maybe a sense of how the universe should be. They're not really a violent species. They're just not. They're not what's portrayed to us in the lore and in the abduction scenarios. It's not that they can't be, and they can be cruel. I'm not trying to take that away, but they're not. It's not quite what we've been taught. First off, they only abduct in family lines. See, all three of the major abduction species abduct inside of family lines, but best we can tell, the reptilians are the only ones that actually abduct inside of their family lines, meaning that whoever they're taking is genetically related to them in some shape, form, or fashion. The grays are taking contactees that, for whatever reason, they started taking their family back in the day. They're taking them today, but it's not because the grays share DNA with them. They may now, but it wasn't then. But for the reptilians, it's always been like that. For whoever they originally bred with back in the day that created the race that's here today, those are the ones they were interested in. That's who they abduct, the children of those people. It's who they abduct. But the humans and grays, we don't know that for sure. We do know they abduct inside of family lines, meaning that the family generations go back further and further and further, and somehow or another, you're related to that. Maybe your great 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 grandmother removed 50 times may have been the original contactee in your family. And with the grays and the humans, that's how they abduct, as well as the reptilians. But the reptilians, you are related to them. You're sharing a DNA with them, and the way we found this out was not nobody could really find out because of the DNA. The way we actually found it out was somehow or another, a lot of the contactees that are reptilian contactees possess genetic memory from the reptilians. The whatever it is, whatever the process is, and a lot of the contactees, once they've been exposed to reptilians on abundance, it tends to awaken that part of them. And they start seeing things and experiencing things. Of course, they're not actually seeing them and experiencing them. These are events that it feels real to them because in their it's going through their own mind. But it's just a memory of someone else or an event that happened to someone else. Or sometimes a wisdom that's far beyond your understanding of things is because it belonged to someone else. But it's inside of your head now, or I shouldn't say inside your head. Coded in your DNA would probably be a better way of expressing that, but it does seem to be that way. The other two races don't seem to have that problem. This seems to be just the reptilians. Now, Mark, where are you from? Wisconsin. Yes, they can be violent. They can be vicious. With the reptilians, we always tell contactees the same way. If they come on really strong when they're taking you, forceful, be forceful back. And I'm not talking about physically being forceful back. I'm talking about mentally being forceful back. Be sharp, curt, and to the point. And usually they'll realize that you have more of a backbone. They're, especially the younger reptilians, they're like any kid. They will push you as far as you let them. So sometimes you just have to step up and say, okay, stop. This is enough. There are reports of reptilian rapes, both male and female, by the way. And there are reports of lots of sex between reptilians and humans and humans and reptilians, both male and female. And the weird part about this, in a lot of these cases, and I mean a lot of these cases, 70 or 80%, it starts out as like a Nordic type alien, beautiful, flowing, beautiful, angelic-like being. That's what they report. It's not till much later on or through hypnosis that the reptilians actually found, you know, I've done a couple of cases over the last 10 years on this, I don't know, 20, 25, 30. And what gets me is when an individual is telling me that the alien's making love to him, I ask him, can you feel their skin? What does it feel like? Run your hand up and down their arms or their thighs and tell me what it feels like. The description you get would not be of like a soft skin being. It would be more like a suede, cool to the touch type feel, which is the way a lot of people describe the reptilians. And the reptilians are warm-blooded, so they feel warm, but they're when you first touch their blood heat must be lower than humans is. Because if you hold on to them, like if you grab them and squeeze them, you can feel the heat transfer between the two of you. But if you're just running your hand across the top of their skin, it kind of feels like cool suede, which suggests to me that their blood temperature is slightly lower than ours is. That way, because it feels cool touch. If it was hotter, then it would feel warm to the touch. If it's the same as ours, it still might feel cool to the touch, or it may just cancel out. that's cool, Gally. But anyway, so we go through this. Now, the reptilians also like to share information. We have literally hundreds, probably thousands of contactees that have talked about going into the libraries. Some of these are underwater, some of these are in deserts, some of these are in different planets, but these are basically an obelisk in the middle of a room with a small globe on top of it. And usually it'll be, maybe not an obelisk, just a pillar, and it'll be raised maybe to the top of the dome or whatever room it's in. Or sometimes it'll just be mounted from the top of the room. Then there'll be small ones around. Well, when you put your hands in the small ones and you think about something, it becomes not quite a hologram. It's not like some of the more advanced holograms we've heard talked about with the different races. This is just something that it's three-dimensional in the fact that it surrounds you. But hologram's not quite what it is. But it's very interactive, and you hear it. You can hear it, sense it. Even a lot of times it smells. But more so than that, it's kind of like it's being downloaded into your memory as you're watching. So it's a very cool thing, and there's a lot of information to be had there. So a lot of times what happens with contactees is a lot of them, like I said, have that genetic memory. So the first time they experience one of these, they go look for something from the genetic memory, something that could explain it or an event or something along those lines. You'd be surprised the stuff we've learned from that. And I will tell you, if the reptilians are pushed, they can be very violent. but they really don't want to fight. That's not what they're here for. They would probably rather just go on about their business, finish what they're here for, and move on. And there's several reasons they're here, by the way. One of it is I'm pretty sure they still think this planet belongs to them. I don't think they're going to try to reclaim it in the sense that we think of, but I think at least partially they feel like it's home. And I mean, if this was our home and we all fled because of some disaster, which is possible, and 20 million years later our species comes back home and finds the reptilians, we'd be a little pissed, wouldn't we? Just be grateful they didn't wipe us out. Because it's always bothered me, and this takes us back to evolution again, but it's always bothered me that in 500 or 600 million years, nothing intelligent evolved. But yet in 2 million years, we evolved. I just have a fundamental problem with that. And even if you said it took us 60 million years to evolve, there should have been intelligence on this planet far beyond, before us, at least 200 million years before us. When you think about it, and this is another thing you have to think about. What was Mars like 200 million years ago? It was probably a thriving, beautiful planet. Venus may have been too as well. We don't know what made them two go catastrophic. We do know, as far as Mars goes, that it was around the same time frame as us. They've got it dated between 54 million and 64 million years, and they've got us dated between 60 and 63 million years. So it was roughly around the same time of whatever happened to Earth. And so that's kind of coincidental. If that's the case, probably whatever happened to Venus happened to. Maybe a large body came through the Oort cloud, dragon debris, or maybe one came through the asteroid belt, or maybe the asteroid belt was actually a planet at one time and a damn thing blew up. That would actually explain quite a lot. That would actually explain quite a lot if there was actually had been a fifth planet there that was destroyed. And recent analysis of some of the materials suggest this is what's interesting about all of this. There have been recent samples seen on different rocks that suggest that at one time they were joined together in a much larger body. So it is a good possibility that this planet was either formed or was in the middle of forming. There's certain characteristics about some of the asteroids that suggest that there were interior pieces. So it's interesting to see all of this, and it's all new stuff that's coming out. And we'll see where it all takes us. Really don't know, because the original theory for the asteroid belt was it was a planet that never formed. Maybe because of the tugging of Jupiter it didn't form, but I don't know. It flat planed out. It's a nice wide debris field, too. A little bitter. If it was condensing, shouldn't a debris field be a little more condensed than what it is? I'm just asking. I don't know. I'm just curious about it. But regardless, we know there was life on the planet for quite some. We know there's been life on the planet for over a billion years. But life about what we're talking about, the last 500, 600, 700 million, it depends who you want to believe, anywhere from 400 million to 800 million years. And I don't even argue anymore about it because it's not important anymore. Because at this point, we really don't know. There's too many things that science says is a fact, and then, of course, we find out they're not. I mean, look at Pluto alone. Everything they thought about Pluto was wrong. Everything. They didn't have anything right about Pluto, or Charon, for that matter. That's just sad. So it's hard to take any of their long-term forecast to be correct. Without any real evidence, it's you just kind of wither, and saying that we are the only intelligent thing to ever evolve on Earth is stupid. If it only took us this long to evolve, and there's been 500 million years of life prior to us, it's a good chance something else intelligent evolved. Maybe it left. Maybe it's still here. Maybe it died out. Who the hell knows? But it's a good chance that something else was on this planet prior to us. And like I said, it's a good chance it's still here today. You mean the human aliens? I don't know. I really think, to be honest with you, I think that all three of these planets in this solar system at one time were active planets. I just don't know why they're not anymore. what happened. I mean, we try to put natural disasters because scientists don't want to think about extraterrestrials. But we're talking about ETs that are far advanced enough to blow up a damn planet. I don't know what happened. Something happened back in the past. One of the reasons, from what I understand, one of the reasons the light beams got involved was there was something that happened. I mean, they'd basically, from what we understood, split the damn galaxy in half, and they were just going at it, the reptilians and the humans. Something somewhere happened. But you know, it's funny because when you think about Mars and humans, or you think about Venus was closer to the sun. Would have been a little bit hotter. If we had a fifth planet that was bigger, whoever evolved there would have been stronger, denser, been much stronger here on Earth than they would have been. Reptilians seem to have the strength of a planet like ours, so they either came from a 1G environment or they probably came from 1G. The humans might have came from a bigger environment. The grays, I mean, on the other hand, may have come from an environment like Mars, where it's a third, two-thirds of a G, half a G. It's hard to say. But, you know, we always assume that all three of these species came from deep space. All three of these species could be native to this solar system. You know, and that's another thing. There's been, you know, they've been arguing about solar systems. You know, we eat more than one galaxy at the moment, but the Sagittarius galaxy is the one we're most interested in. Because first they said our solar system could be from there, and then they said they didn't, but they've had to restate that now. Because the way they're tracking this is by the red dwarfs that are being deposited here from that galaxy. Come to find out just recently, thanks to some new telescopes, that those red dwarfs are in front and behind us. We're in the middle of them. So yes, we probably did come from a different galaxy. Our solar system was probably deposited here from the Sagittarius galaxy, along with many, many, many others. And it's not the only galaxy that's doing it. And one day, in a billion years, the Milky Way's galaxy will be distributed across Andromeda. And there will be all kind of new rebirths and re-life and everything else there. So this just seems to be a common cycle inside of it. So I find that interesting that we could have came from somewhere else and we could have all been from here. We don't necessarily have to be from this galaxy. And we may have been exploring our other one when we got transported here or dropped off here. And that could have been when a disaster happened, when all that was being transferred over. That might have been when all the trouble started. We don't know. We don't even know how long ago it was. All of these dates are long beyond us. And I have to give Michio Kaku credit the other day. Well, actually, Tyson was with him. Well, not with him, but they were with him on the same subject matter. That if there is life, it is quite possible that it is much more advanced than we are. Meaning that in some aspects, it's so much more advanced than us, it probably wouldn't even recognize us as an advanced life form. More like an amoeba. So then we might be the one-celled life form that starts all of creation. Other ones are so far more advanced than us that we're just simply not interesting to them. There's no reason for them to even try to interact because the only way we could receive these people as is gods. So no need for them to even get involved. And then I'm sure there's ones that are less advanced than us and the same as us and right above us and things along those lines. But regardless, science does agree now that there probably is life. And if there is life, of course, this race is older and younger than us. And just to put this in perspective, the current age of the galaxy, they lifted it a little bit, 13.8 billion years, right at 14 billion years. Man, that's a lot of time for life development. Our solar system is 5.2 billion years old, 5.5, depending on who you want to listen to. We're babies in the grand scheme of things. And really, I mean, even if you want to stretch life back as far as you can go, a billion years. I mean, you could go back like four, but that would be lying. That would just be some amoeba swimming around some crap. But a billion years compared to a universe that's 13 billion years older than that. And you really think we're the oldest or the smartest, right? Sometimes when I talk about this stuff, it scares me to think of what could actually be out there. And in some ways, I'm kind of grateful that there may be aliens here abducting us, because in some ways, that may keep us from being invaded by someone nastier. And that's a damn good question, Callie. Let's say that there was races that formed 5 billion years ago. Depending on their level of technology, how many of them are still around? That's a damn good question. And that's a very arguable question according to who you want to believe, but I'm going to be honest with you. If we're going to play it by like a roulette type thing, I'd say 2 to 5%. And I would say in such a way that we wouldn't even understand what they are. They would be at least the equivalent of light beams, at least. That much evolution with that kind of technology, they would be at least. Because, you know, that's another thing that science tends to forget sometimes. I got a good friend of mine on this. He's a physicist, by the way. I called him on this good. I said, wait a minute, dude. I said, what do you think, aliens quit evolving? We're not. So we don't stop evolving. Why would they stop evolving? I said, what would a 3 billion year of evolution alien look like? Could we even understand the concept of something like that? Would, in fact, as far as we're concerned, it be God? See, this is where, because, you know, look at it from a human standpoint. Where will we be in 100 million years? Where will we be in a billion years? More than likely in a billion years, we'll probably be non-corporeal, or maybe energy, plasma, whatever the essence of a human actually is. And then again, maybe we'll be exactly what we are today. Frank, the simple matter is we haven't lived long enough to know. And Callie, you could be right on that. Well, actually, you are right on that, because Draconia is supposed to be a 2G environment, by the way. Earth is a 1G environment. The Draco system, where they move to, is supposed to be a 2G environment. So you are actually right about that. And you know what's funny about the reptilians is they tend to have a lot of relationships going on with a lot of different types of aliens. They seem to be quite functional. That's why I said they remind me of us in a lot of ways. Just the way they socialize. The greys and humans don't seem to be as sociable as the reptilians are. Reptilians seem to just, they just act more like we do. Or I should say, we act more like they do. The human aliens really consider us like trash cousins at best. And they do occasionally find a human they consider to be enlightened. But for the most part, they're not real thrilled with our species. They don't think much of it. The greys play favorites. They have their favorite contactees and their keepers and stuff. And everybody else is basically an effing experiment. And that's the way they treat you. But if you work with them and you get up the thing, eventually you might become, I don't want to say friends, but maybe they'll treat you like a pet. How's that? Well, friend is just, how can you be a friend to something that you don't even understand? It's not even the understanding of what they are. I mean, we can understand the concept of what an alien is, but how do they think? How do they do anything, for that matter? It's just, you know, first off, they're a telepathic species. We're nowhere near ready to be a telepathic species. Even the reptilian, and that's funny, every now and then you will hear, and these always crack me up when I hear these, there'll be like 5-6 reptilians in a room and they'll be doing whatever. And, you know, somebody will do something, or somebody will say something will happen, and then you'll see one of the reptilians just reach over there and smack somebody down or knock somebody down or something. It's because they're telepathic, and they hear what you're saying, whoever it is. It could be a damn, hey, mystical. It could be anything along those lines that sets them off. And that's usually the ones involved in those type of things. But, like I said, the other two-thirds don't even seem to even get upset about that. How you been, sweetie? They don't even seem to get upset about those kind of things. I don't, it's weird the way it works. But I think the reptilians are like humans in the fact that if we didn't need a military, we wouldn't have one. If this was a one-world government and we didn't know about aliens and there was no threats, we wouldn't have a military. There would be no need for one. We'd have police departments and stuff like that, but we wouldn't need a military anymore, would we? You know how much money that would save? All of that could go to colleges. Shit, kids could go to... Man, y'all could be living Bernie Sanders' dream for free college with that kind of money. But currently, we need one. And I think for them, it's the same thing. They don't trust the humans or the Greys enough or the light beings enough to disarm themselves. You know, I think whatever anima, and it, you know what's funny about it, the reptilians and the humans, anytime there's a gray present, they like bow their head, look away, you know, shun them and stuff like that. So you would think with they both have a common, I don't want to call the grays an enemy, but a common dislike for something, that maybe they could find some common ground, but they do not like each other. They're always abrasive when they're in the same room with each other. You can tell that they're talking to each other telepathically because you don't know what's going on, but you can physically sometimes see them getting mad or angry. So I imagine there's some, you know, shit talking going on, for lack of a better way of saying it, some shit thinking going on, I don't know. And they look like they like to push each other's buttons. Kind of like the U.S. and Russia in the old days. Well, no, not like the old days, maybe today. Because I don't think there's any real hostility there. I don't think there's any real fight going to happen there. Mainly because I think the Greys will kick both their asses, or the light beings will. But somebody will step in and intervene and say, this is enough. Well, she might be a reptilian. A lot of people seem to think the queen's either a reptilian or a werewolf. Don't ask me why. I don't know. That's okay. They thought George Bush was a reptilian. And in fact, it was Barack Hussein Obama who was a reptilian. Yes, we now know that. Yes, he likes to eat people and stuff. I'm just teasing for everybody starts writing to me. I don't know, guys. They're not quite what everybody thought. And we, you know, none of these sessions we've done so far, the Greys, the military abduction, or this, have we got into any real hardcore stuff, any abduction stuff? And we will in the upcoming series. These are just to get you warmed up, to tantalize you a little bit, to really see what's coming. We're going to get into some in all three cases, we're going to get into some pretty harsh abduction stuff. We're going to get into some good stuff as well. So it's going to take a couple weeks to get all this worked out and get it to where we want it, but there's a lot of interesting information here. I don't know, Callie. I'm trying to find out why there's aggression between them. There's a lot of speculation on why there is aggression between the two of them. And it's I don't want to say it's aggression like hate anymore. It's more like it's almost like two football teams taunting each other. It's like they know they can't really start a war, but they can go ahead and try to piss each other off real good. That's what it seems like. But without one of them actually fessing up and saying that, it's hard to say, because it could be true aggression and we're just too ignorant to understand it. Which that scares the hell out of me, because they got into a war on this planet, we'd be devastated in a matter of hours. We would be toast. So what I understand about some of their weapons, actually, this is one of the interesting things. They don't even need weapons. From what I was understanding about some of the big ships' drive systems, if it was just to come in Earth's atmosphere and turn its drive on, whatever it is that brings it from one place to the other, it would just invert our planet. It would, implode our planet, so... They don't even really need weapons for that. That would just be a side effect of turning their engines on inside of our atmosphere. Yeah, it must be some kind of dimensional thing, or maybe some type of gate or worm hole technology or something like that. They don't. That's something that they kind of stay away from. And if they're telling the keepers aren't spilling the beans. And all three are the same way, by the way, when it comes to what I like to call the keepers. They are very pervy to a lot of information, and they are allowed to share a lot of information. But some information is just given to them because they were curious, and they're whoever's, you know, abductee or keeper. So, but sometimes that information isn't meant to be shared, and contactees can be punished for that. And we get a lot of information, but not enough to make some of these calls. We're gonna get really in depth in all of these. Next week we're gonna be talking about the humans a little bit, and then we're gonna be bringing back the gray thing, and then the abduction thing, and then we're gonna flip back to the grays again and get into some really heavy duty abduction stuff with the Greys, and then with the reptilians, and then with the humans. And I'm going to flip back again and talk about some of the more enlightened and more spiritual type contacts as well. So that's probably about 8 shows, and then we'll be back on the guest list, which I'm planning on bringing on, like I said, Alfred and Bisaggio and probably Travis and a few others, and then we'll go from there. I know there's a couple of conferences coming up. I just got a letter from a nice lady, Jennifer, today about some of the stuff going on, some conferences. I'm going to invite the whole guest list from there as well. So it ought to be interesting. And I heard Stephanie Bonetti's getting married, so I already tell her congratulations. Anyway, guys, we're getting ready to get out of here in just a minute. Any comments, clones, moans, bitches, or gripes, you can write to me at uprn@cox.net. I'm always available there. You can also write to any of the websites and find me that way as well. Yeah. Well, give me a little while and you can, Mystical. I got a couple things going on right now, but I'll be done in about an hour. Guys, I'll tell you what. I've been having a lot of fun doing these shows. I think, too, I forgot about Charles Hall. Callie, I'm glad you said that. I need to give him a call. I actually did. I forgot. Shame on me. I like Charles Hall. He's a great person to talk to. And I've got new information about the tall white. So, oh, and one of these shows will be about, actually two of these shows will be about other types of aliens, like the black-eyed children or black-eyed aliens, the tall whites. We're going to get into a little bit about that and a couple of things. But it's a lot of stuff to get out. It may end up being 12 shows. So maybe we'll get this wrapped up before Halloween and we can get back to our regular guest list through the holiday season. You know, jingle bell, jingle bell. I see an alien and it smells. I'm just kidding. You know, it's funny. Yesterday, I was sitting in here with Linda, and I was listening to the show, to a show, and all of a sudden I hear Christmas music. I'm like, damn, Christmas music in July. I was like, look at that stuff. Well, we're going to talk about all of that. We're going to talk about all of it. And to a personal favor from a friend of mine who I haven't talked to in a year, but she had asked me to do this a while back, I'm going to go ahead and get into some details about the Browns' home world. Yeah, we actually have details about this. I've never talked about this, by the way, ever. This is entirely something new. I've never got into a lot of stuff we're going to be talking about over the 8 to 10 weeks. Some of it's new, but a lot of it's just stuff other people have heard. But this, I know when she was on with me one night, we kind of touched on one of the places she had seen. But this is a compilation of about 5 contactees who have seen this same place in this same planet. And in a way, it kind of reminds me of, what was it? Gideon Prime, is that it? No, it wasn't Gideon. What was it? I can't remember. It's from Dune. It's where the bad guys on Dune live. I can't think of the damn name of the place now, but it kind of reminds me of that. But this is, and Callie, I'll leave at least 30 minutes for you at the end of that show for questions, because I know you're going to have some. So I'm just going to tell you ahead of time. This is, you know, every now and then, from time to time, I'll just dump some new information. That's what I'm in the process of doing. I like to just hide it in some of the older stuff, so that way the people who really listen to the shows get it, and everybody else just ignores it because they just think we're talking about stuff they've heard before. This is interesting stuff. We're going to be talking about blood, fats of blood, and things with body parts moving. It sounds like a blood and body part factory almost, but we're going to get into a lot of that. What's so weird about this place is, so we're going to be talking about all of that and how that smells and is, and but then there's a whole other section of that that makes you think, what the kind of weird race is this? But that's for then, and this is for now. Until next week, I want to tell everyone thank you for tuning in to UFO on the Cover. I am your host, Joe Montaldo. I hope you all enjoyed this hour with Joe Montaldo and the Reptilians. We're going to get more and more in-depth into this as these series go on. They're going to get more and more interested. Like I said, these are just little tantalized teasers, these first 5 shows, just to get your lips smacking. And then we'll start getting into a little harder. I can tell you this, there'll be at least 5 shows that are almost all new material out of the 10 or 12 we're going to be doing. So And even those will have some new material. And there was actually something about the reptilians tonight. I just don't know if y'all caught it. But anyway, I got to get out of here. I got things I got to do. I thank everyone for tuning in tonight's show. It will be up on the archive in about 10 or 15 minutes, and it will also be available on Facebook and all the other places in about the same frame of time. Until next Wednesday, have some fun. And don't forget, join Stephanie Benetti and I tomorrow night for Thursday's edition of Flipside Light. Oh, my God, the news and more news. I got to say one thing. Since I started doing a news program, it's never boring. But anyway, guys, good night, and I'll see y'all tomorrow.
On AM 1600 WKKX and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. My name is Nick Queen. We have Lola Miller over in the booth and Jordan Klein somewhere near the beach. Are you there, Jordan?
I'm here.
If you cause any problem, I'll dump you as quick as your high school sweetheart.
Ooh, that's fast.
That was very fast.
That was pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah, you're at the beach. We've had to deal with hell, wind, lightning. It was crazy.
You saw the video. I was outside, and it's like, I want to say, like 80s right now. Nice and.
Can you hang up on him now? Yeah. That's just sad. It's like 50 here. Let me see. What is the temperature? If I said 74, it feels like it's 50, though. It's just, looking out the window now, it's kind of dreary.